There was a full agreement from most committee members who were present that that's fine now. So we're then moving on to 67. Hang on, not 67. Clause by clause 66. Having a look to see what was raised under 66. Just check my documents. I've got no issues raised there whatsoever. Let me check the. Where's the act? That is 114 of the act. Sometimes members make comments that don't remember it themselves. 114. Proposals for a scheme of arrangement. No, I've not noted anything there as well. So then we go on to 647. Right? That's 567. Amendment of section 115. I've got a couple of lines here and there. Some of them look like semantics, others are looking on page 208 of the Principal Act, which refers to 3A, 15%, the oars and the hands and the oars. That is some of it appears to be typo, syntax, grammar, and maybe I see everyone here who wants to make some comments is here. So let's have a look and see if DTI tackled anything here. They didn't on this document 7. Let's look at the other document, document 5. We're moving then. Oh, very much like our train. 68, clause 68. Amendment of section 116. Just a minute. That's what clause 67 wasn't it? Now, over here under the amendment, I've written DTI on this amendment on page 37 on document 2. And underneath there, I've looked at by the substitution of centuries, said in the following paragraph, within 10 business days. Do you see that there at the top? On the amendment bill, line 3. Yeah, so can we just hold on there a minute, because I have flagged it. Check document 11. Document 11. And it was also identified, I believe, in NACA. Let's just look at this here just for a minute. You see, we're all looking at 9-11 documents here, and with three of them, which we have noted in detail, comments on committee. Page 36 there, and then on the main, the principal act, we would be looking at pages 2006 at the bottom, and 2008. All right, now when we look at an opinion here from Kathy Ivinson, you know, who's with us this morning, right at the bottom of the page, it's the point 3, page 4. The time period for launching review of applications under section 115. Section 115 regulates disposals of a buyer company, etc. It goes on, proposed by shareholders at least 15%. And we look at the opinion on page 5. There is some merit in this concern. However, the new time limits proposed in the bill are not unduly lengthy or unreasonable. In addition, the rules of the court do allow for applications to be brought to an urgent basis if there are good grounds for doing so, which means that delays will not be inevitable or a necessary consequence of the section. Even if this does not fully address the concern, there does not appear to be any other solution. In my view, and that is in the opinion of our consultants, this is not a situation in which the protection of dissenting shareholders should be sacrificed in the interest of commercial expediency. I am accordingly in favour of the proposed amendment to section 115 in its current form. Governor, which amendment are you referring to here? Is it the amendment that exists here? So, in other words, there we are. Okay. So I just thought some of you may also want to be flagging this. We're on now clause 68. Clause 68 then, which deals with 1116. Oh, not nomads here whatsoever. Are there any?
Thank you, Kate. I just would like to refer to the opinion that we got from Kathy. And it's clear that in this section that there are various statutes that that deals with in other sections of various other acts that deals with the mergers and amalgamations. And for the sake of clarity towards section D-B towards the end, I think we will have to insert referring to these examples like the Long-Term Insurance Act, the Short-Term Insurance Act, Security Services Act, and maybe as well as the Banks Act, because it all deals with also with the approval of the Ministers of Finance of before a merger actually takes place. Maybe for the sake of clarity, for future mergers, I think one should maybe refer to those things. That's your opinion on page 5.
I'm looking at it myself, the opinion of 2 lines of page 5, moving on into page 6. Right. I just ask Adkin Adamson, don't you want to just highlight your opinion there? We've got the written one in touch with us.
Thank you. I wasn't quite sure exactly what I was being asked to comment on. I thought that the question might have been, is it so that because the Companies Act and the Bill don't refer to all of these other statutory approvals, does it mean that it has implicitly wiped them out and that they're no longer necessary? If that was the question, the answer is simply no. It is still necessary for those other regulatory authorities to give their approval under their relevant legislation. The second question I thought I might be asked was, well, if those other approvals are still necessary, should we spell that out in the Companies Act itself? And I said yes.
I think really that addresses the issue you had raised, doesn't it, on your smile?
And yes, ma'am. I'm just trying to. There was a certain clause that we dealt with yesterday that referred to all the various. Acts and laws and the CFMA and all those things. And I'm trying to get it, if you would recall, Chairperson, one of the clauses, and then we omitted the 2, that was clause 5. Yes. And I was maybe.
I think in fact, ETI were also expressing their mind at that particular point as well.
Because I was thinking is that one could just, if one has got to refer to that, and those 3 or 4 or 5 acts is already in clause 5, if I'm correct, it would mean that we can just refer to subsection as stipulated in that subsection which deals with clause 5, and that will solve the problematic area if we did omit it. Those specific acts.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you're asking for a little bit of cross-reference. So I need to leave that technicality there for those technical people that are running around Parliament here. So let's just move on then to clause. Thank you very much. The authority. What is the thing? In our dealing, once, if I'm not mistaken, the authority of panel. Of the panel and takeover regulations. Is that right? Clause 69. Now, if you look at Clause 69, Amendment 118, I haven't got anything noted here. Just to look at the principal act here, and nothing noted there. So I then look at what we may have seen from the senior refer to finances. You see, I think this is something. You've taken up consultancies, other approvals. You know, she just, there we always dealt with that. 69, we've got nothing here, though. So it says, see the summary, page 6. And that would be then, I'm just going to get the reference to you here, document 6. Document 6. You look at document 6, 69. It's one section 118, is that right? Yes. The comment here, test for an effective transaction or offer in a private company should consider the number of shareholders. Page 6, document 6, page 6. That was on the 10th of February. Okay, also from EDR. So you've got the EDR response here. The EDR, the percentage shareholding applicable is the ultimate and overriding requirement. So, 118 in the main act, in the principal act, okay? And that is page 215, I think. Getting on to 216. All right. I haven't got anyone raising the issue. We're going to move, and we're going to go to Clause 70. Clause 70, and then Section 119, also page 216 here. Also do with panels, etc., must regulate any effects, etc. If we come back here, no issues raised. I have a double look at my own notes in here. I haven't got any notes on my act or the amendment bill. I'll have a look here to see if anything was raised. Nothing there. Right, we move as well in this regard. We then come to 71, as we said. 71, their regulation of effective translation. 71. I wasn't aware that we were ahead of 71. 71, no issues were raised. We just simply say 71. We're not saying it's in the amendment bill or anything. So if you look at the amendment bill here, 71 is on page 78. The amendment 121. It's really a clearance note. It's talking about a compliance certificate. You see what DTI says in that regard here? Nothing. I mean, everyone, the stakeholders, would have seemed to have agreed with the issue. Then let us move on to Clause 72. Under Clause 72, no issues. No, yes. I'm looking, that deals with 122. Required disclosures concerning share transactions. We haven't got anything here. Having a look at some of the points that have come up, nothing here. Right. So then we move to 73. 123. I have nothing there apart from, you know, well, I do have something. It's just after the new clause on page 3. Omit paragraph B on page 38. So on page 38, from line 36. From line 36. You know, delete. Okay. I've got here, the reference would also be the, of course, the, I'm not sure what the page 222 refers to.
Correct a prescribed percentage into statutory percentage. which I'm fine with. But why do we not correct debt plus across the board? I mean, why don't we just put the percentages in the statute? I mean, those should be set in stone, a rule of the game. Why is there a need of deferring debt to the discretion of the minister and possibly to definitely change over time?
Make further comments in this area, but I'll just check on that. Let's look at the additional. It was simply something with hurling, just as a matter of being methodical, which is what, of course, one of the requirements as well for a content professional. So just making sure all of these things are remembered. So then we go on to 79, clause 79, 132. I haven't forgotten the time. The time is now 5 to 12, and my watch is off. At least faster than this local TV station, the SABC 2. So, I can't come any further. I don't know what time you're keeping. Now, 79. Well, what are you working on? Yes, isn't any 11:52. You see, all these different stations are different things. So here we are. Yes.
Session 129 is plus 78.
Talking of clause 78 was 129.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Then we're going to 79 being 132. Okay? We're moving there. And on the 78, perhaps if you just want to refresh your memories on the DTI comment in document 5, clause 78 referring to 129 of the principle, the DTI didn't believe this was necessary. It was Tini Conyer. Who was Tini Conyer again? Pardon? Oh, the Law Commission. There we are. Seeks a new amendment in both section 129.4 and 129.7 provisions to insert in the prescribed manner, that was to determine the content of the motion. The DTR's response here was that they didn't believe this was necessary. However, very good point here, if implementation proves that it was necessary to prescribe, it can be done in regulations, you know, in secondary legislation. Okay? He's prescribed it in secondary. Alright. So let's see how the implementation goes on this one. And then 79, 132. I can't remember any issues, but 132, non-Trump stakeholders. Nothing from yourselves. Of course, we have 133. I think put a circle around that. There's nothing there raised. What have we written here? 79. None. 80. I made a few points myself. Line down on both sides. 133. Right. Clause 80. That is also looking at 133, page 238. Comments from both SARS, FSB, and National Treasury, in consultation with this group, the comment had been regulators' rights to invoke enforcement action during business rescue proceedings must not be affected. You remember that came up over and over again. Tini Conyer guarantees, he goes on further there, enforcement of guarantees during business rescue proceedings should be subject to consent of business rescue practitioner or court. Prescription of claims against the company should be stayed. That is, halted. Is that what that means? During the proceedings, huh? Now, the DTI's response is that it was not the intention to exclude these regulators, etc. A closer reading, according to DTI, paints the correct intention. That correct intention there of the legislature, what is being emphasized is that all actions must be carried out with the cooperation give a notice to the rescue practitioner. So they can go ahead with this action which they just about reached, but they must at the very least give notice to the business practitioner. It is further recommended that the provision be inserted in the bill to require the business rescue practitioner to notify the regulatory agency to which a company under rescue would fall of his or her appointment. So in other words, it would look almost like a quid pro quo issue being called into line here. You know, so that is the issue. There's other guarantees. They don't agree with the recommendation put forward there by Team Tonya, the access sufficient provision. On the issue of claims against the company, should it be halted, the whole process, the DTI shares the sentiment. However, the provisions of the Act are sufficient as timelines, irrespective of whether they emanate from the Act or by prescription, are covered in the Act. We're going to keep finishing with 18. Are there any questions? We're closing, yes, on the last.
Except that there is a difficulty on this, a typing error.
Yeah.
In terms of legislation, on the DTI response, it is not intention to exclude actions of regulators during business rescue process. A closer reading of section 133.1a has the correct intention of the legislature, or is that of the legislation?
I'm sure it means legislation, you're quite right. But you could. What was our intention? What was the how? After all, we are simply delegated our authority by the speaker, you know. What is our intention here? We are making the recommendation, and of course, Parliament is the legislature. What, when it adopts what our recommendation, it obviously, their intention, what does Parliament intend, may sometimes be called into question in the Constitutional Court or wherever they take it. So, I think in a way, you could take it as legislation, but there's nothing wrong with saying legislature, you see, as I see it, principally. I mean, English is not my first language. I know everyone keeps on saying it about themselves, but it's also not mine. Yes, sir.
Madam Chair, the correct term would be the legislator, because one of the principles of interpreting statutes and pieces of legislation is to search for the intention of the legislator, not the legislation.
I say that it's just to guard against those of us who can't speak English well. So let's just move to what was our intention when we went through this. I just say I would stop at 18. I do believe we've made progress. I really do. I know some of you may have an alternative opinion. We are going to be able to give you, if you haven't already got a program, we are going to hand out one when or will it be given out next week or email. Will be emailed. We have only one reservation which we want to put on the table. And that reservation would be, we obviously, Friday is a working day, we all know that. At the same time, we are cognizant of the election environment in which we are all working. We are also cognizant that you sit on other committees, etc. So we do not use every Friday, although we're entitled to use every Friday. So very careful, we try to avoid some Friday. But there is one Friday which the committee secretary was indicating we may need to just consider. We will ask, we will table it, but we may not have to use it. The 5th of March. I mention that because when you get your program, just note that that's a possibility. The 5th of March. Before you leave here, Honourable Mabasa, Honourable Salam, please can you make sure you have your documents or make an arrangement directly with the committee secretary to get those documents? Right. I would like to just say to committee members, first and foremost, thank you for your time. Thank you for applying your mind and for sharing your application with all of us. DCI, thank you very much. You know, you are still coming back on certain collective issues and one or two others. And also, I would like to thank yourself, Ivan, for being here this morning. And other observers, we also have National Treasury here as well represented. So I'm not sure if there is any other department represented other than DTI, National Treasury, and an observer from Standard Bank who's also there from Barclays sometimes. Right. Thank you very much.